Well, good evening, everyone. And I just want to say just a huge big thank you to Pastor James for inviting me back to Here's Hope and allowing me to share once again about Jamaica. And I'm humbled and privileged to be able to do that. So you've probably all realized, but for those of you who don't know, I'm a full-time missionary with Christian Service International, or CSI. Not crime scene investigator. I don't have that salary, I'm so sorry. But no, it's we'll say a CSI from now on. But I have been permanently in my role as discipleship and outreach coordinator in Jamaica since the beginning of March. And I am forever grateful for your partnership with me as a church. We at CSI believe that it is vital that we are equipped and able to continue to build into the lives of the Jamaicans, not just to provide their physical needs, of which there are many, but to invest in their spiritual needs also. While many people in the Highgate Clonmel area, which is the area that I'm based in, they know Christ, many, many more do not. And of those that have a sound Bible knowledge, very often life application is difficult as they have never been shown how to study their Bible. And this became evident to me on my first week-long mission trip to Highgate, Jamaica, as part of a Way Weekend team in January 2017. And during that week, God called me to Jamaica. His call was so clear. After a period of illness, God had said, "I have healed you for a purpose." And I thought it was to full-time ministry in Northern Ireland, to fulfill the mission on my doorstep. But instead, he moved my doorstep almost 5,000 miles. God has a sense of humor, believe you me. But it was, and it is, my heart's desire to pour into the lives of the Jamaican people, those who worship God so freely and with thanksgiving in their hearts, no matter how little they have and what daily struggles they face. So, with my heart for outreach, evangelism, and discipleship, I answered God's call. And I've shared with you before about the three words that he gave to me. As I gave up my job, eventually my home, and started the missionary journey. Faith, trust, and obey. Those words came to me over and over and over again as I navigated the many detours, diversions, speed bumps, and potholes on the road from Ireland via the United States to Jamaica. Three governments. Oh, the stories I have to tell about that. You're going to hear one tonight. But having negotiated how CSI would pay me my support, treating me as a self-employed contractor, finally getting a tax ID number with the help of an immigration lawyer, I got my tax ID number in February of this year, and I was able to open a US bank account. We thought we were over all those hurdles until June the 1st this year, when I was traveling from Jamaica via Fort Lauderdale to Indiana, or so I thought. I arrived in Fort Lauderdale Airport. I scanned my passport at the kiosk, and there was a huge big over my picture. I was diverted into a separate line from everyone else. I was taken into a room with my luggage. There were several other, it was a large room, maybe half the size of this. There were several other people there as well. I was told to sit down. There were notices all over the place, no cell phones, don't use your cell phones, whatever. I had no clue that I had accidentally overstayed on my ESTA, which was the document that I used to travel back and forward to the States. But back in November, I had overstayed by 2 days on my ESTA. And long, long story short, They eventually told me that I would not be allowed to stay in the States, that I would have to go back to Jamaica or go home to Ireland, and that I would not be allowed back in the States until I had a visa. I was devastated. And I was, yeah, fear, absolutely. But at the risk of getting into more trouble, I reached into my purse and I unlocked my phone and I sent a text to a pastor friend and asked him to pray. I said, they're holding me in immigration. He thought I was joking. And if you knew who it was, yes. But he knew when I didn't answer him back. So he was able to start off a prayer chain. And the power of prayer took me through that time. Now, I did get advice from immigration officers that I could go back to Ireland and apply for a B1, B2 visa, which is a business stroke conference visa, and that it would be granted because I could never travel on an ESTA again. This was despite having been refused a religious workers visa about 6 months before that, because CSI is non-denominational. Anyway, I spent the night on a chair in immigration with a blanket. I was allowed to contact my executive director, who was able to book flights for me for the next day and the day after. They did eventually allow me to call Sean and Amber Cooper at 11:30 at night. And Sean was, I mean, I was a mess and he was a mess as well. And he, you know, do you have a shower? Can you eat? Have you, you know, no, you know. But they ended up that conversation praying for me. And I was filled with a peace. You know that peace that we talk about that passes all understanding? Yeah. I was filled with that peace. So I was able to sit on that chair with my blanket and pray through the night. So the next morning, we were escorted. It was great. It was lovely. They didn't put us in handcuffs. They told us they could have. But we were escorted to check-in and then straight onto the plane. And I flew back to Montego Bay. I spent the day there and the night there in a hotel that we use for teams, CSI uses for teams. And by the time I got to bed that night, I had been awake for 39 hours. I couldn't have told you my name. Anytime anybody contacted me, I was just a puddle. But I still had God's peace in my heart. So the next day, the journey from Montego Bay to Toronto, Canada, and then from Canada to Heathrow in England, and then finally to Dublin on the 4th of June morning. And as I've said, God's perfect peace was with me throughout that long night in immigration and in the days that followed. But I'm telling you folks, there were many, many anxious moments. I questioned my call many times. But God, he didn't ever leave me or forsake me. And during that time, I leaned heavily on Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And there were countless blessings in being home in Ireland. I stayed with a dear friend, Moira Lindsay, who, as well as feeding me and housing me, because I don't have a home in Ireland anymore, she loaned me clothes for my 5-week stay. I spent precious time with family, especially my grandkids, Matthew and Mia, which was a true blessing. And on the 4 Sundays, I was able to attend my home church, which is Warringstown Presbyterian. I was able to meet properly for the first time our new pastor, Stuart Hawthorne. And during one of our visits together, Stuart shared words that he had learned when he was a wee boy, when he was 9 years old. And the words I've had printed on this card, God's will not ours. God's way, not ours. God's power, not ours. And God's glory, not ours. And these were a reminder that we always need to be firmly in the centre of God's will. So many pastor friends from Indiana, from Jamaica, and from Ireland called me and prayed with me and reminded me that Jesus is still on the throne. And I include James and Kim in that band of faithful prayer warriors. So thank you both so, so much. And thank you guys as a church for the prayer that went up. A Jamaican pastor kept sending me a text saying, God always has your back. God always does have our backs. Don't ever forget that. When God is in it, the victory is ours. And we are commanded to rejoice in our suffering, but we don't have to like the circumstances. The prayers of so many encouraged me dearly, but more especially when everyone from three countries prayed together the night before my visa interview at the US consulate in Belfast. The power of prayer. And of course, I'm standing here, so my visa was granted. This was no surprise to God. He answered those prayers because they tell you in your visa application that you might not know for weeks or months. You can't book flights. They take your passport. Yeah, I mean, I had no idea that I would be told on that particular day that I had got my visa. And many weeks later, actually when I came back to the States at the beginning of July, I read my Jesus Calling devotion for June the 1st. And here's how it went. I am involved in each moment of your life. I have carefully mapped out every inch of your journey through this day, even though much of it may feel haphazard. Because the world is in a fallen condition, things always seem to be unraveling around the edges. Expect to find trouble in this day. Wow. At the same time, trust that my way is perfect, even in the midst of such messy imperfection. Stay conscious of me as you go through this day, remembering that I never leave your side. Let the Holy Spirit guide you step by step, protecting you from unnecessary trials and equipping you to get through whatever must be endured. As you trudge through the sludge of this fallen world, keep your mind in heavenly places with me. Thus the light of my presence shines on you, giving you peace and joy that circumstances cannot touch. I still can't decide if I wish I had read that devotion before I began my travels on that morning. But I share this story with you to emphasize the goodness of God. He is sovereign over us. Praise his name. My life verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it, becomes even more evident to me day after day. When my faith remains strong, when I trust in God's perfect plan and timing, and when I obey his wishes, he shall be with me always to the end of the age. Those three words again. But there's another word that God gave me back in February of this year as I was asked to be lay director for the August Way in Jamaica. Perseverance. And perseverance became my word for the Way weekend. And I wondered why. Perseverance didn't really reckon in my thinking, at least it hadn't, you know, consciously. But I did, and I wondered why until that 1st of June night in Fort Lauderdale. But, as it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I returned to Indiana on July the 5th with important original documents needed for my Jamaica work permit, which was another blessing of being back in Ireland. And we spent a week preparing my work permit application, and the rest of the time was taken up with church updates and connecting with supporters here in Kokomo, in Galveston, in Logansport, and in Goshen. And I flew to Jamaica on July the 27th and was able to continue the ministries which began in earnest back in March. So let's look at a few of those ministries. Now, I know you have been watching slides and you've been seeing just, I mean, this is a house build, okay, and teams often come to build houses and stuff like that. The impact that something like this has on a Jamaican's life is totally, totally amazing. Totally amazing. These houses are no bigger than maybe some of us have sheds in our yards, but they are like mansions to these people. So let's go to slide 31, please. This is my home in Clonmel in Irish colours. not for my benefit, that's the colours that they were in, but this is my home. And on the left-hand side, in the middle, this is our cook, Miss Pinto, our amazing Jamaican cook. And these are our new guard dog puppies, which came to us in May. These are Zoe and Simba. And my home is very close to Clonmel Baptist Church, which is one of Pastor Travis Drummond's churches. And he is a very, very dear young man to me. You'll hear some more about him in a while. Next slide, please. So this is us. We have outreach with Clonmel Baptist. We have worship with Ranch Church of the Nazarene. Pastor Brian Doyle and his wife Michelle, they minister at Ranch Church. They both have full-time jobs. They travel an hour and a half to get to their church and an hour and a half home at least twice a week. I have great respect for those people. Pastor Travis looks after four churches, one of 200, one of 60, another one of 40, and another one of about 15 or 20. He is an amazing, amazing young man. Top right was me at a health fair where I had a chance to share about spiritual health, and that's practically unknown of in that area. God was in that story to such an amazing, and there was a young lady who gave her life to Christ a few weeks later through hearing me speak at that health fair. Bottom left is our Bible study at Highgate Library. It is at a neutral venue. It's great that I was able to use the library because a lot of Jamaicans won't go into a church that is not their home church, or some of them that don't go to church are very reluctant to walk in through church doors. The bottom is the outside of Clonmel Baptist Church. This is the view from the sanctuary at the Mission House at the CSI. Mission House. This is a view very, very dear to my heart. And top right, just beside my picture, is Clover and her family. And she is one of the women that I disciple and counsel individually. And I just would ask just an unspoken prayer request for Clover. Next slide, please. So here we have a dance troupe at a youth service. And then on the right-hand side, we have Clonmel Baptist, a cake sale, a huge fundraiser that they had to help finance the building of bathrooms onto their church. Greatly, greatly needed. We have prayer walks in Highgate and in the Ranch and Clonmel areas. Also down to the left, we have the Boulevard Choir from Kingston that came to perform at Anato Bay Baptist Church. Next slide, please. Some more pictures of the choir and of the dance troupe as well. But these slides I just want to highlight. This is Pastor Brian on the left-hand side and Pastor Travis on the right-hand side. And this was at the baptism of a girl who was prayed for through our hospital prayer ministry with Rance Church of the Nazarene. She came to faith and she invited me to her baptism in the sea on September the 8th. These two pastors, both dear to my heart actually, are working together for the first time. And they have instigated hospital church services on Sunday afternoons. The CEO of the hospital approached Pastor Travis and asked him, could he do something like this for the patients and for the nursing staff? So these services have started and they're hoping to bring more pastors on board so that they only have to preach one Sunday afternoon in four, say, hopefully. So this was the first time that I was able to get a picture of the three of us together. Please pray for these guys. They pour their lives into their church members. They really do. They are so dedicated to what they do. They are young guys. They are on fire for the Lord, and they inspire me on a daily basis. And it was so hard to leave them a few weeks back. But it had to be done, and I will be back. But believe you me, they have had a huge impact on my life. So my personal weekly Bible study, down at the bottom, you'll see Pastor Brian. I go to his church for that. We have prayer, we have worship, and then we have study, and we have been walking through Romans. Then Pastor Travis invited me to be an usher at his ordination on the 12th of September, which was a great honour. Almost 700 people attended that event. The temperature was 105 at 2 p.m. that afternoon. The ceremony lasted 3 hours. It was hot. It was hot. When one of his deacons introduced me to a visiting pastor as their white Jamaican, her words made me cry. So Jamaica is our main mission field. But we also have a North America ministry, which is being rejuvenated at the moment. And we minister in Belize. And there's lots of information about these venues on our new CSI website. And of course, Northern Ireland, where the Way Weekends are held. And this is where my CSI Jamaica journey started. I was catering manager at Castlewell and Castle, where the Northern Ireland Way takes place. And that was where I first met Pastor James and Kim properly. And you know, when we talk about the time that James came and ended up serving on 2 weeks consecutively, that was a blessed time for me. And I remember saying before that James prayed for me every morning and he saw me through a pretty tough time at that stage. So I thank you for that, brother. You really blessed me. So CSI Jamaica ministers in the poorest parish of the second poorest Caribbean country. Teachers with college degrees earn about $9,000 to $10,000 annually. And if they're unqualified, it might be half that amount. Casual day labour, they may be paid anything from $10 to $15 per day. Jobs that pay better are at least 90 minutes from Highgate in Ochoreas or Kingston. And the main tourist area of Montego Bay, where the majority of the hospitality tourism jobs are, is a 3-hour drive away from Highgate, which means that folks would have to live away from family for weeks or months at a time. House build teams, as I have mentioned, and you can scroll through all the pictures again if you like. House build teams do come to Jamaica on a regular basis, but it's not the only ministry that we have. Churches can come together and come as a team to do house builds, to do VBS, medical teams, sports teams. And of course, any team that comes can work alongside me for part or all of your time. A short-term mission trip is not just about a house build. a team can experience how my ministry is impacting the community where we are based. Join us in Bible study, in the hospital prayer ministry, in prayer walks. There's so much opportunity to bless the people, even just to walk around the town and just be visible. Many times somebody will stop me in the street and just say, would you pray for me? So as you've seen on one of the slides close to the end of the presentation, we have a new catchphrase, if you like, pray, go, or give. So those who cannot go or are cautious to travel so far can pray. Prayer is fundamental, not supplemental. Pray for health, safety, and travel of a team that is going. Pray for spiritual wisdom and servant hearts. Pray, most importantly, that God would be glorified throughout any short-term mission trip. And those who God has laid on their hearts to follow the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 16 to 20 should go. Go. Remember, you can choose your attitude. You can approach life expecting to be served, or you can look for opportunities to serve others. Challenge yourself by reading Philippians 2, 1 to 11. And I'm going to read Paul's words in verses 1 to 5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. And those who feel led to give should do so following 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Folks, our attitude when we give is much more important than the amount that we give. We have freedom from enslavement to our possessions when we freely give. Let me repeat that. We have freedom from enslavement to our possessions when we freely give. Be it of our money or our time or our talents or our spiritual gifts that God has blessed us with. When we freely give, we have freedom. We can give so that others can go. And for me, there is nothing so humbling as interdependence on God and on other believers. So I encourage you all to think seriously about how you could help those from this church that feel led to go and serve anywhere, not just Jamaica. Would it be financially, prayerfully, or both? You will be abundantly blessed, whichever way you choose, when you hear how lives have been impacted, either in Jamaica or on other mission fields through your actions, even the mission on your doorstep. Remember the mission on, I still preach the mission on my doorstep, just my doorstep's in a different, slightly different area now. On a different island. So I find myself back in Indiana as the final part of my Jamaica work permit is processed. You have to be off the island while this is happening. So when my letter from the Jamaican Ministry of Labour comes to the CSI office in Kokomo, I will fly back to Ireland, where I'll have my passport stamped at the Jamaican Embassy in Dublin, which will be the final step of the journey. Perseverance. The work permit should be for 3 years, which means that I can stay in Jamaica for prolonged periods, just returning every 6 months to Indiana and once a year to Ireland to update at churches and meet with individual partners in my ministry. Please pray for the timing of my return trip to Ireland. Pray for Journey and Mercies and for a fruitful time with family and friends, for some rest and relaxation, but also as I will have to use that time to update the churches that support me back home and to connect with my supporters, because it will be the last time for at least a year that I can visit Ireland. It just costs so much money. Two trips home within 6 months, which were necessary. Obviously, it cost a lot to book those flights back in June. It was a huge, huge hit to my budget. So I won't be able to travel back to Ireland after this time for at least a year. But the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And he has done it, and he will continue to do it. But pray for my family back home. Pray for their salvation. They have been so supportive and so understanding, and it's hard. It's hard. So just pray for them. Some of you may know our new admin person, Jen Bingaman. She is now, as well as being communications and marketing for CSI, she is also the Jamaican team facilitator. And she works out of our Kokomo office, and she's done an amazing job with the new CSI website. So I encourage you all to check out the website. There are prayer cards with your bulletins, and there's CSI info and newsletters available, and I think we put some new stuff up on the notice board. And there's also an opportunity to partner financially. And though, believe you me, prayer is the most important factor in partnership, the reality is that we as missionaries cannot stay on the field without adequate financial support. And I deeply, deeply appreciate, and please know that, I really do. I'm so, so grateful for the continuing support from Here's Hope, because I could not do this without your love and encouragement. So thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart for Jamaica. Thank you for just, my prayer would be that you would just have captured something of, there's always, always something to be thankful for. And those people are thankful no matter how little they have. And some of them live literally day to day. But there is always, always for them something to be thankful for. And they praise God and they worship God like no other. And that's what spoke to my heart on my first trip. On that second night when God called me, and I literally went, what? I did. But that spoke so clearly to my heart. And the events that happened, I mean, some of you have heard the story, too long to tell, but just how he opened door after door after door and closed other doors, I was left in no doubt where I was meant to be. And believe you me, that immigration story was not the only pothole or diversion on my journey, but it was just one, because I could literally stand here for hours and hours and tell you stories. But I know that I am firmly in the center of his will. So as God speaks to you, to each of you tonight, tomorrow, and days to come, listen. Listen for that still small voice. And remember who we are here to worship tonight. He has been here, working in this place, moving in our midst, mending every heart, turning lives around. He is the way maker. He's our way maker. Amen. Thank you, folk. Bless your hearts.